The gut lesion. So this is an attempt to try to share and isolate a problem that can get pushed easily to the background. Sometimes we can get discouraged trying to heal the gut because it really does require some complex conditions in order to heal that all have to line up perfectly. And so we can start feeling like maybe the answer to our health problems isn't there. Traditional gut healing may not work, probably won't work, certainly won't work if you have the modern condition, which you can listen to the podcasts about that. And so that can be one problem. Another problem can be that the problems that show up clinically aren't gut problems, or the gut problems may be there, but the more conspicuous problems that show up clinically can be things that, A, affect the gut. For example, thyroid function will affect gut function. Liver function will affect gut function. Or B, it can be something that we don't recognize as being connected to the gut. Now, to make matters worse, sometimes it's not. Sometimes a system of the body is just very sick, was born sick, had some damage to it, and that particular system needs to be healed. So this creates more confusion to throw into this already complex situation. But what we should understand to begin with about the gut is that every organ, every system, every tissue within the body that has specialized, so we're going to exclude the skin, although the skin can't be excluded. We'll talk about that another time, perhaps. There's this connection where the skin compensates for failure within. And rarely is it the skin that's failing. It's almost always the internal systems that are failing. And the skin is also tethered, like the gut is, to the health of systems everywhere. So the skin gets involved, but not in exactly the same way. The way the gut gets involved, there's actually this connection between every tissue and a certain area of the gut. And if you have troubles in that area, and we're going to talk in just a minute about what those troubles might look like, then you're going to maybe have sickness in that organ that you can't quite get on top of, can't get that to go away. And if an organ is really sick, but the gut in the corresponding reflex area is healthy, the organ will tend to get good nutrition, good energy flow, good blood flow, good tone and tension and relaxation levels at appropriate times and that sort of thing. And so it will tend to not get sick. So we see that even organs that are sick in and of themselves, they've been injured, infection, whatever, are still able to sustain as long as the corresponding gut area is healthy. And from this rises the statement from Dr. Christopher, from Richard Scholes, from Bernard Jensen, and from many, many other practitioners who came from that generation, 90-95% of all health problems are directly related to bowel toxicity. Now, what has changed is it's no longer a simple case of toxicity. So let's talk about what bowel toxicity looks like, and then we'll go into what the modern bowel problem looks like. So bowel toxicity, the traditional bowel toxicity, first of all, it was from a generation of people who weren't eating enough fresh produce. They weren't eating processed food, but everything was cooked to death, and there was a lot of pork and cheese and bread and milk and just a lot of congesting food, sometimes for months at a time, and they would never really do anything to sort of change that. They just kept eating the same thing. They would harvest from their garden, but everything turned out turned up in a pot as a pot herb, was cooked to death, boiled to death, and the vitality that would have normally helped, you know, balance things just wasn't there. So they would get some nutritional value, of course, and some medicinal value, but they just didn't get that live plant cell action that you can only get from eating live plant cells. That's the only way. They have to be intact and full of water and all of the micronutrients undamaged by heat and processing, and that's the way it's got to be. So to get, you know, they weren't getting that in. So that what they would end up with is all of the debris that was burned and cooked and destroyed, that was broken down into particles small enough to get through the bowel wall. And it's not a high percentage, but there is a percentage there that does get through and accumulates over time. So at any given time, they say the bowel is sampling, or the body is sampling through the bowel wall, about 5% of what's in there. So if it's sampling raw food particles, it's no problem. But if you have these cooked particles that are just floating through, chunks of protein, things like that, chunks of fats and starches, those are going to go through and they're going to just become congesting, irritating, constipating. And what they're going to constipate up more than anything really is the lymphatic system that's going to pull those off and load up with them. Some of the venous system is going to return that to the liver, and the liver is also going to be burdened by this, all this heavy congesting debris. And so the traditional way of cooking all that dead, cooked, heavy animal product dominant stuff goes in, and it just creates lots of congestion, lots of internal complex constipation. And so if we want to prevent that, all we really have to do there is start switching to a live food. Eat animal products sparingly, eat it more raw. Maybe don't eat it at all. That generation would switch to a vegetarian diet and feel fantastic. They didn't have any problems with it. And as I've talked about in A Modern Condition, we do have problems with that today. It's not because it's bad for us. It's because of what our underlying problem is. But but that was the old problem. And you would put that person on an herbal formula like Dr. Christopher's Lower Bowel Formula or Richard Schulze's Intestinal Formula Number 1, and that bowel would start moving. It would be spurred into action. The phlegm would clean out. The activity of the lymphatic system would increase. Both of those formulas have some cayenne and ginger in there. Richard Schulze's has some garlic in there. They're going to hit that and thin that, break up that debris, and clean out the lymphatic system as well as the bowel. And as the bowel moves, the lymphatic system tends to be stimulated anyway. So you get this drainage over the entire body of the lymphatic system as the bowel moves. And this became the fundamental component of the healing process of that generation. And it was very effective. It was very effective. Miraculous stuff happened just from that. And of course, it wasn't just that, because they would change their diet too, because they didn't want more debris going in, right? So they're giving them a vegetarian dominant, if not completely vegetarian, diet that was very high, 70 to 90% raw. And that's how they would eat. And then things like grains that were hard to digest got sprouted first. Lentils and legumes got sprouted first. And the emphasis was on things that would sprout and become edible rather than on things that were hard and inedible in that form without cooking them. And they would get on this diet and their health would just come back. And that was the end of the story. We didn't have to do anything special for them. And it had nothing to do with some notion that there just weren't all these infections today. They had them. They had everything like that. They just didn't get them. They just didn't have the problem. And the underlying problem was easily treated by cleansing, healing, good diet, little exercise, you know, healthier thinking. Everything cleaned right up and they were fine. But things changed, you know, from the 1940s until the 1970s, the practice of medicine was as a natural healer, was just basically uninterrupted, and it was ridiculously effective. So much so that it really offended medical professionals who felt slighted that these natural healing barefoot doctors using plants you could grow in your backyard were getting people well when they were failing to. It was very offensive. Well, they don't have to be that offended about it today, because the problem has gotten so much more complex that we're all on pretty much equal footing. But in those days, it was offensive, and it created a lot of problems, and a lot of horrible things happened to natural healers who you know, we're just out there healing people and helping people, and you know, they cross over the wrong person and end up, you know, being shut down by the FDA or put away for practicing medicine without a license, or, you know, never mind that they were helping people. That was illegal, right? It's illegal to cure incurable diseases. And it developed a lot of animosity, genuine, you know, maybe not quite hatred, but enmity between the natural healing world and the conventional medical world. In the 70s and 80s, people's bodies started to show signs of all the processed food. They started to show signs of the chemical load. They started to show signs of a new kind of irritating pro-inflammatory toxicity, which had never been seen before. The natural healing was still working, though. But sometime in the 90s, the effectiveness of the natural healing started to really seriously decline. And it had been declining. It had been declining since the 60s. You can find evidence of it in the literature and in, you know, people who practice during that time period. They start doing things that are a little more rigorous, a little more radical than, say, Dr. Christopher, who's, you know, practiced earlier than that, ever had to do in his practice, or Royal Lee ever had to do in his practice. They started to show up, these radical efforts being put into trying to heal people that just never were there before. So we know the change was occurring. Without having practiced in that era, I can't describe it to you. I'm describing it, you know, from a distance, from the words and teachings of my mentors and the literature that I've read in my educational process. But it was happening. But by the 2000s, we had large groups of people in the more metropolitan areas, that were not living anything like a traditional lifestyle, that were living in toxic soup in cities. We started to see people who just simply did not respond at all to the natural healing procedures. An entirely new need developed. And just became very difficult suddenly to treat these people. Not suddenly, but it's like the scales tipped. And now all of a sudden it was like, it's not only not working, but cleansing is kind of making them worse. It's making them irritated and inflamed. We've got a whole new level of issue now we're dealing with. So that leads us into this modern world and the modern gut. Now, all of these interesting and unusual and problematic infections have emerged that are taking the blame. Also, the alternative medicine world emerged, which is not natural healing. The alternative medicine world doesn't belong in a category with natural healing, herbology, or even homeopathy, which maybe isn't necessarily natural healing by some definitions. But it didn't belong in any of those categories. It was more like we're trying to do everything that's being done with drugs. In other words, we're not actually saying we can make your body completely cured, completely healed, to where it simply doesn't have those problems anymore. That discussion disappeared, and a new discussion of sort of a naturopathic, alternative, complementary kind of medicine emerged. We're going to use herbs and vitamins and supplements instead of drugs to manage your disease. And we're going to have, you know, we're going to kill infection. And I'm not against that. I may sound a little negative about it just because I think there should be a distinction between what's natural healing, which is trying to get your body truly back to nature, healing on its own, and alternative medicine, which is still a dependence on medicine. But so many really interesting and useful things have emerged from complementary alternative medicine. It's just been a great blessing, especially dealing with the modern world. They began to create technologies out of necessity. And that's where we see the ozone therapies. And hyperbaric chamber is used medically, but it also can be used as complementary alternative medicine. Intravenous kind of therapies, things that were much more aggressive. Energetic frequency therapies, which could just kind of take over where your body was failing and do the job for you and get your body frequency changed, and your health would improve for a while, maybe for a long while. And this became the new trend that was kind of bridging the gap in the health problems. And that worked for maybe 15 years. But by the time we got to 2008, 2010, there wasn't a place on the American continent. I can't speak to other countries, having not really practiced there, except I've practiced in Poland. And in Poland, it hadn't hit yet. When I was there, it's just starting to, literally just starting to. I've been going to Poland for 5 years, 6 years, something like that, and it's just really starting to hit there. You're just barely seeing the beginnings of it. So it's like watching the United States in the 1970s. So it's an interesting phenomenon, and because of their culture, I'm not sure that it will hit in full force for quite a while, just because they have a lot of things they just do culturally that are going to help prevent that, that are still kind of a whole food, traditional type diet. You know, even living in cities, down in the basement, they've got vats of sauerkraut. You know, people go down to their little area and get into their big vat and scoop out a gallon or two and take it up for use for the next week or two. And, you know, they're just doing things like that that are inherently sort of slowing to this advent of the modern condition. In any case, the modern condition that emerged still is a bowel problem, but it's so much more inflammatory. So now, instead of having to just clean debris out of the lymphatic system, we still have to do that. But if you try aggressive cleansing, first of all, you don't need aggressive cleansing, because this is not sludgy, congested animal debris. This is inflammatory, chemical, genetically modified proteins, chemically processed non-foods like high fructose corn syrup and soybean oil, things like that. These that are emerging, and they're showing up not so much as big congestion, but rather as big inflammation. And so we do have to clean it out, but aggressive cleansing the traditional way doesn't really work. Those herbs are still very useful, but they've got to be used sparingly in the beginning, until you kind of get the person to a stable health state, and then you can use those traditional herbs according to the traditional guidelines. but you would never do an intensive cleanse that way if you want it to work, because you're going to find that that approach doesn't really work like it should, like it used to. the next thing that is part of the modern bowel problem is there will be immune lesions in the bowel. This is areas where we have just a local cluster of immune cells that are having an inflammatory response every time something comes by that they don't like. And it's kind of like the United States has troops in the Middle East because we believe the area is unstable. It's like that. It's the immune system sets up and says, all right, you guys, if you see anything you don't like, fire. I don't know exactly the biochemical immunological pathways that lead to that, but that is what happens clinically. And so, of course, we have a corresponding disease develop in whatever organ or tissue is reflexly connected to that part of the bowel. So this is going to show up as joint aches, low back pain, ringing in the ears, heart palpitations, AFib, lung problems, liver problems, pancreas problems, skin problems, everything, although the skin is not related to a specific location in the bowel. It's more related to the fact that this is happening in the bowel, and especially as it starts to affect the liver. But this is a new problem, right? So now suddenly we're going to have to figure out how to take all the load off that gut while simultaneously stimulating it to heal, while simultaneously correcting the overall, health and disposition of the body, which has been thrown off because of all this inflammation. And so in my modern condition discussion, I go into some detail on what to do or what we can do about this. And I give a list of supplements and dietary recommendations and that sort of thing. And that's a start. That's how you start getting the body as a whole to kind of, it's like a stampede. Stampede is where there's a big herd of cattle and they get spooked and they start running full tilt some direction. And they are very dangerous and very hard to turn. They can kill themselves. They can go over a cliff into a ravine. They can run over whatever in their path and destroy it. It's very fear-driven. It's not unlike Americans who get terrified, or any human that gets terrified about, you know, something they think is happening in the world, and they all react to it. It's like they reacted to AIDS. It's like they react to, you know, climate change. It's like they react to a lot of things that need to be thought about instead of just reacted to. But we don't see people thinking, we see them just reacting. And a stampede is like that. Well, this is a stampede of your entire body going in a health destroying direction. And so the long list of supplements and complex dietary guidelines that I give are all about fixing that. Well, fixing isn't really the right word. It ultimately, the goal is to fix it, but in the beginning with that supplement regime, what you're really doing is trying to turn the stampede into an area where it's going to peter out, it's going to slow down, it's going to lose its momentum and start to settle down, and then the body will enter that state once again where, with herbs and natural foods and wiser living, we can start to restore health. In the beginning, you can't restore health, not when the body's on a stampede. And the modern condition is really a stampede. So I talk plenty of that about that in the modern condition, but once the stampede settles down, then a whole new strategy needs to come into play for healing the gut. And you do not get complete healing until the gut is healed. For the gut to heal, it needs long periods of time without anything in there to do. And what does go in has got to be pretty darn pristine. Now, I don't know that it has to be perfect. For example, I seem to be able to have a little bit of organic peanut butter and organic jam as like a snack when I get hungry, just like a spoonful. Every once in a while, if it's not too often, I can have a little chocolate. So that's obviously not perfect, but you can't just go off the reservation on this, because then you're going to have major meltdown and the body, you know, the stampede is in danger of starting again. But generally speaking, you're going to have, you know, maybe two actual meals, both of them, you know, 90 to 100% raw, maybe some juice, fresh juice for the third meal. And then there, you know, we're going to keep the gut acidic. So we're going to use Zypan for that. And we're going to use things that might help the gut to actually heal. So the large doses of dandelion root I've talked about for helping restore friendly flora. That's 10 capsules all at once, one time a day, for a month, and then you do that four times a year. So you take breaks in between. And I haven't talked about it before, but wheatgrass tablets is something I'm experimenting with right now. I use the Pines wheatgrass, and that seems to be helping just on an empty stomach. And then you kind of live on those, or maybe just a little bit of fruit with it, for several hours until the liver gets the benefit of that wheatgrass and starts actively pulling off the debris and the wastes and the stored metabolic byproducts. And as that happens, the inflammation cools down and your body starts to go back to normal. And things that certainly would be on the table that I haven't really experimented much with in my practice would be things like bentonite clay, absorptive products, large doses of slippery elm, for example, marshmallow, maybe together, slippery elm and marshmallow with a little bit of licorice in there to try to heal those bowel lesions up. That's a brilliant formula I've used for diverticulosis before. And so we might be thinking that direction, but we're definitely going to be very careful about putting large amounts of cooked anything in that bowel that's going to have debris, that's just going to irritate those lesions. And we're going to be very careful about avoiding chemical loads and things that are just going to be irritant and inflammatory. Foods we know are inflammatory or know are inflammatory for us, we're going to avoid. Even though the problem isn't the same as it was years ago, we still don't want a bunch of congestion in there. We still want the body to be able to freely move things around. So we're also going to go easy on animal products, even though potentially they could help. But they're very helpful for quelling the stampede. So in the modern condition, I talk about using plenty of animal products, fish oils, things like that, and lots of animal supplements. And they're very effective for turning and mellowing the stampede. But as that stampede slows down and you actually need to start restoring health, then that needs to become less and less a part of your diet. Those supplements that have been so helpful will begin to be less and less helpful. And so I'm not going to give you a list of supplements beyond what I've already talked about for this discussion, but we need to start thinking about the benefits of letting that gut rest for long periods of time, and particularly the latter half of the day. As you go into the evening, you're going to be entering the biorhythms of the liver and the bowel and the lungs and the gallbladder, and as you go into that evening, and the heart a little bit. And so as we go into the evening in those coming biorhythms, we need to make sure that the gut is empty, that things can actually heal rather than have work to do. And this is going to pay off. Now, the person might be starving a little bit, but what's going to happen is their gut efficiency will go up and they won't starve for long. Now, we do have some problems with people who they actually do start to kind of waste away and get weak, and this is a different kind of challenge, and we have another podcast we'll do on that subject to try to prevent those people from just wasting away completely. But it is a problem. As the inflammation comes down, some of the processes in their body that build the body up are actually linked to the inflammation. And so if you do things to lower the inflammation, they also will stop building their own body. And they've been building in response to inflammation for so long that the normal building mechanisms aren't working. And so if we get a person wasting, we're going to have to do something to stimulate those normal building mechanisms. So that's going to be another discussion. So that concludes the discussion of the bowel lesions. Both before the change of the modern condition and after, we both suffer some from these little clumps of fecal material that adhere to the bowel that have abnormal flora in them. And one of the things that happens when you cleanse sometimes or fast, you'll still get bloated. You're like, what is wrong with me? Well, what's happening is those clumps of abnormal flora are breaking off and they're opening up, and you're actually having an inflammatory response as you clean those off. And those can take a while, and that can be part of the challenge of healing the gut in this way. So that concludes this discussion, and as always, keep tuned to our podcast. We'll give you the best education we possibly can on healing the modern condition.